If we love our Christian brothers and sisters, it proves that we have passed from death to life. But a person who has no love is still dead. Anyone who hates another brother or sister is really a murderer at heart. And you know that murderers don't have eternal life within them. We know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. So we ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. Let us pray. Almighty God, whom truly to know you is everlasting life, grant us so perfectly to know your Son, Jesus Christ, to be the way, the truth, and the life, that we may steadfastly follow his steps in the way that leads to eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. And all God's people said,
Amen.
A lady went to her pastor and said, Pastor, I won't be going to your church anymore. The pastor responded, But why? The lady said, I saw a woman gossiping about another woman, a man that is a hypocrite, the worship team living wrongly, people looking at their phone during services, among so many other things in your church. The pastor replied, Okay, but before you go, do me a favor. Take a full glass of water and walk around the church three times without spilling a single drop on the ground. Afterwards, leave the church if you desire. The lady thought, too easy. She walked three times around the church as the pastor had asked, and when she finished, she told the pastor she was ready to leave. The pastor said, Before you go, I want to ask you one more question. When you were walking around the church, did you see anyone gossiping? The lady replied, No. Did you see any hypocrites? The lady said, No. Anyone looking at their phone? The lady said, No. You know why? No. You were focused on the glass to make sure you didn't stumble and spill a single drop of water. It's the same with our life. When we keep our eyes on Jesus, we don't have time to see the mistakes and the shortcomings of others. We will reach out a helping hand to them and concentrate on our own walk with the Lord. Why does it seem such a challenge to truly love one another? Why does it seem so hard? I mean, churches are very quick to divide instead of forgiving and reconciling and going forward together in fellowship and mission. There appears to be so much disunity, so much lack of love in churches today. And believe me, I travel all over the country. I've seen firsthand. And I want to know why. Why? Don't you? The command to love one another is repeatedly used or referenced throughout the New Testament. This command was given by Jesus, our Lord, Master, and Savior, on the night that he was betrayed, on the night that he instituted Holy Communion, on the night that he washed the disciples' feet. For the Son of Man came to serve and not be served. Amen? But the problem in a lot of our churches today is it's just the opposite. We've been so influenced by this selfie technology, this selfie theology. We become so narcissistic. It's all about us. We go to church not to really enjoy and worship the Lord. We go seeking out what best suits our needs, our desires, and our preferences and our interests. I like the music here, but not there. I love the topical sermons here, but the expository preaching over here sucks. This place doesn't offer phenomenal men's ministry, but this place does. Consumerism. Idolatry. Church has become nothing more than a vendor of religious goods or services, and if you don't like something going on in one congregation, just wait, just drive down the road. There's one that might meet your needs and expectations. But like the woman holding the glass of water, so fixed on it that she didn't want to spill any of it, not a single drop. We've got to keep focused on the main thing. Because bad stuff happens when we take our eyes off of Jesus. Just like Peter, when he was on the Sea of Galilee, he took his eyes off of Jesus and he began to sink. What was the great opening line from Rick Warren's best-selling book, The Purpose-Driven Line? It's not about you. Needle drop. It's not about you. It's not about me either. It's about the Lord, first and foremost. And my friends, love is the name of the game. Love. Last week was the fourth Sunday of Easter, called Good Shepherd Sunday. If that was last week, then this week we could rightly call Good Sheep Sunday. Because for John, the good sheep are those who have responded to the love of God revealed in Jesus Christ. The love of God that came down from heaven, who humbled himself and was born as a baby from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, who lived a perfect life and died a perfect death for us. And this love that came down and lived and died for us didn't just stay dead. No, his love was far stronger than death. The good shepherd laid down his life for his sheep. And John is saying today in our passage that the good sheep laid down their lives for one another. The good sheep sacrifice for one another, their fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. They laid down their lives not because they're bent inward, looking at themselves, not even that they're looking at other sheep, but first and foremost because they have fixed their eyes upon the Lord Jesus, upon the Good Shepherd. He has modeled what true love really looks like, what true love really is. And because the good sheep are fixed on him, they can lay down their lives for one another. In other words, the good sheep look to the Good Shepherd. So we've got to ask ourselves, are we good sheep or are we goats? Are we good sheep? Bah! Or are we goats? Are we looking to our Lord or are we inward bent on our own selfish ends? This is why John gives us a tale of two brothers. You may have heard of them, Cain and Abel. It's a nice little bedtime story, isn't it? Cain's eyes aren't really on the Lord, are they? He only brings some of his crops as a gift. Abel, however, brings the best of the firstborn lambs as a gift to the Lord. You see, Abel's eyes are fixed on what is right. Cain's eyes are not. And as it is always the case, the heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. Those of the world, those who belong to the evil one, look inward and practice evil. It's all about me. Those of the Lord, first and foremost, cast their eyes upon Jesus. Again, are we good sheep or are we goats? A little over a month ago, as some of us were descending Jerusalem, making our way down into the Dead Sea area, I saw something I've never seen before. I saw a shepherd out in the Judean wilderness, and the flock consisted of both sheep and goats. Both sheep and goats. And right there, Jesus' imagery from Matthew 25 immediately came to mind, where, as a shepherd, Jesus separates the sheep from the goats. There is a difference between sheep and goats. Sheep have their eyes on Jesus and thus serve in his name. Goats are concerned only with themselves. And oftentimes the two are mixed up together, just like the wheat and the tares. But as the old hymn states, the good sheep are to turn their eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. The good sheep aren't just mixed up with the goats, however. Jesus said, "Behold, I send you out as sheep amidst the wolves." And he also said, "If the world hates you, remember it hated me first." We shouldn't be surprised by such struggle and hatred against us in the world. We shouldn't be surprised by pushback. Indeed, we should expect it. But what about strife within the body of Christ? What about feuding within the family? There is an uncanny statistic that 66% of people that leave their church family do so because they've been hurt or offended. And they leave because their focus is not on the Lord, not on the other sheep, but on their own pain. And their pain is real, make no mistake. But they certainly are not fixed or focused upon the great shepherd of the sheep or their other brothers and sisters in Christ. And they don't seek to follow the biblical example of reconciliation modeled in Matthew 18. Or what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. And get this, because this is what our good shepherd said. So if you are presenting a sacrifice at the altar in the temple, and you suddenly remember that someone has something against you, leave your sacrifice there at the altar. Go and be reconciled to that person, then come and offer your sacrifice to God. 66%, folks. Almost 7 out of 10 people in churches who leave. No wonder why the world thinks that we're hypocrites. Do we merely talk the talk, or do we walk it? If we love, John says, we really are alive. We really are. It proves we've moved from death to life. But if we harbor anger and resentment towards our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, we are nothing more than murderers. And Satan was a murderer from the very beginning. We truly love one another if we are truly fixed upon the Lord Jesus, who first loved us and gave his life for us. We, the good sheep, truly love one another when we see the good shepherd, hear his voice, and follow after him, not when we critique one another. Two taxidermists stopped in front of a window where an owl was on display, and they immediately began to criticize the way it was mounted. Its eyes were not natural. Its wings were not in proportion with its head. Its feathers were not neatly arranged, and its feet could be greatly improved. But just when they had finished with their criticism, the owl turned its head and blinked. Hoo-hoo! And the point, my friends, is it's easier to be critical than correct. It's easier to be critical than correct. Life together in the family of God is meant to be countercultural to that of the world. In other words, when the world zigs, we zag. Say that with me. When the world zigs, we zag. The world is cutthroat, man. It's filled with lying, cheating, stealing, manipulation, promoting self above all others. Satisfy my desires, my hungers, my appetites, my ambitions, and my need for affirmation. And here again, we come back to selfie theology. It's all about me. Click. But as the good sheep, we zag another way. It's all about him. Amen? Amen. The world seeks to pull everyone through its own current. We go against the stream. We lay down our lives for one another. All because our eyes are not fixed on us, but on him who first loved us and gave up his life. So what does this laying down of life look like practically? First, it means when we are offended by a brother or sister, we seek to be reconciled to them. We seek to make peace. Something that we practice every week in the Eucharist, and something I should probably teach more about. In the Greek, the imagery of being offended is like falling into a snare or a trap. And that's exactly what the enemy wants to do with church families. And I go all across the country, and I see it firsthand. He wants to divide and conquer. He is a roaring lion seeking to devour. But we serve one who is a greater lion, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Maybe you've experienced this or seen it yourself. This person looked at me the wrong way. This person said something inappropriate. But when the world zigs, we zag. When the world zigs, we zag. This is why the apostles always tell us to seek and pursue unity. As Nikki Gumbel of the Alpha Course put it, church is not a place you join, it's a family to whom you belong. And of course, I realize family is a loaded word in our culture today. Many people come from broken families. And the last thing they want to experience is a broken church. Well, newsflash, as I always say, no church is perfect. You're going to deal with sin if you really follow Jesus in Christian community. But we who have been forgiven, we who have been reconciled to God through Jesus Christ, should also forgive and be reconciled to one another. At the end of the day, we have no excuses not to follow what our Lord has put in place. And to practice this as a community, we need to keep our eyes firmly fixed upon Jesus. If we love him, we will obey him. Second, we are called to make love a way of life. This means we aren't just hearers of the word, we put it into practice. This means that there are things we do and things we don't do. So if someone loses their house, open up your own to them. If someone's car breaks down, give them a ride or help them fix it. Or if you have a spare car, let them borrow it. Make love a way of life. Make love a way of life. And it requires also that we set up boundaries. Don't dish out marriage advice or parenting advice if it's not asked for. Every marriage is different, and everyone has a different philosophy of parenting. I know because there's a zillion books on it. Respect people's boundaries, but always be ready to step in when someone asks for help, because that's what family is for, is it not? John states in our passage this morning, let us show the truth by our actions. Our actions will show that we belong to the truth, so we will be confident when we stand before God. And Jesus said what? He said that he is the truth. And we must show the truth, not just to those out in the world, not just to them, but to one another as brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. And we can only show him if we have our eyes and our hearts firmly fixed upon Jesus. Thirdly, the person sitting next to you today is of immeasurable worth. Immeasurable worth. Just how much? The precious blood of Jesus Christ. And real love lays down its life for another. As Chris Rice used to sing, sometimes love has to drive a nail into its own hand. Sometimes love. And countless Christians forget the connection between the vertical and the horizontal, this theme that we've been looking at as we study 1 John. But as my mentor, the great Terry Fulham, put it, the vertical relationship is never any better than the horizontal. The vertical relationship is never any better than the horizontal. Think about this. Think upon it. This is what John has been laboring to tell us throughout this entire letter. This doesn't just imply brothers and sisters within the church family. It also implies relationships between husbands and wives, between parents and children. But when we consider the cost of Jesus' sacrifice for the person sitting next to us, we fathom how costly love is. Sometimes love has to drive a nail into its own hand. Jesus has forgiven us, and it cost him his very life. When we are tempted to zig with the world and its selfie theology, that it's all about us, remember to lift high the cross and turn your eyes upon Jesus. The good sheep follow the good shepherd. They hear his voice and they obey him. Their focus and sight is on him, first and foremost. Like the woman walking around, so focused not on spilling a drop of water. And they lay down their lives for one another because they continually look to the sacrifice and to the love of the one who laid down his life for them on the hardwood of the cross. Excruciating pain, excruciating suffering. And this is possible, my brothers and sisters, not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit has been given to us, because the Holy Spirit abides in us, because the Holy Spirit knits the body of Christ together. But oh, so many times the Holy Spirit is grieved when people do not follow Jesus as they should. When they indulge selfie theology instead of fixing their eyes first and foremost upon Him. Oh, so many times the Holy Spirit mourns when brothers and sisters in Christ do not forgive, do not reconcile, do not pursue unity, and do not sacrifice for one another. When they zig with the rest of the world instead of zagging to the current of the Spirit. If we are good sheep, if we are good sheep, then we have moved from death to life. And the love of Jesus continues to amaze us and to shape us and to form us for how we live out our lives together as the body and the bride. Therefore, may we turn our eyes towards the cross of Christ, and may we evermore be fixed upon His great love. Sing this with me.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory.
Let us pray. Lord of all life and power, who through the mighty resurrection of your Son overcame the old order of sin and death to make all things new in Him, grant that we, being dead to sin and alive to you in Jesus Christ, may reign with Him in glory, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be praise and honor and glory and might now and in all eternity. Amen.